groin. Who has a hurt groin? Rick Nash does. He hurt his groin in the overtime period against the... that was the easy part of the song. Welcome. Welcome to a Monday night edition of Bantering the Blue Shirts. Because Joe's Christmas party is on Wednesday, and that would not be good. But in typical Beth fashion, Beth has had her own Christmas party for her husband's birthday, and this will be good. Beth, Mike, how are you guys doing today?
Good. My groin's fine.
Good.
My groin's okay, too. We should just all greet each other like this now.
Yeah,
my groin is also fine. You may be asking why we're talking
about... But are both sides of your groin fine?
I think so. I think if your groin is fine, then both sides would have to be fine, no?
Apparently, Rick Nash hurt the other side of his groin.
Yeah, it's a different. It's the same groin, but a different groin.
A different side of the groin. Interesting. Well, whatever else, Nash's groin is hurt, as per a report from Larry Brooks today. The New York Rangers star forward will be out an unknown amount of time. How scary is that? Michael, you begin so we can give Beth time to formulate words.
Well, it's funny because I was thinking of what we were going to talk about in the podcast tonight when we figured out we had to do it tonight. And one of the things I really wanted to make a point of talking about was how good Nash has been since he's been back in the lineup. I mean, obviously he had the 2 goals in his first 2 games back from the other groin injury. But even last night, you know, the amount of times he went hard to the net, it just, you know, it looks like vintage Nash. It looks so good. And then, of course, you know, he played 37 seconds in overtime, and there was some concern about that. And then we get the news that, once again, he's de-groined. So it's not good news because, as we say a lot, he's the team's best three-zone forward. And, you know, right now he's tied with Grabner for the team leading goals. Even with the time he missed, he's still leading the team in shots. He's also tied with like 5 Rangers with 6 power play points. So he's a huge part of the team, especially the offense. It's not good. Not good at all.
De-groined. Not something that I thought we would hear on the podcast, maybe ever. Beth, what are your thoughts on Nash and his delicate groin?
Well, considering he's the only Ranger who seems to actually want to go to the net, this is not a good thing. Everyone else seems to feel like they need to touch the puck 3 times before they shoot. And I mean all of them. Everyone on the ice has to touch the ice 3 times before anybody shoots. So, you know, we're going to miss Nash careening down and actually going for the goal, as opposed to whatever weird origami crap the rest of them seem to feel like they need to do now before they can put a shot on the net, if they ever actually get around to that before, you know, turning the puck over and getting sent back to their own end.
We saw Nash really lower the shoulder for the first time in a while against the Devils, where just on 2 or 3 opportunities where he's driving the zone and has a step on his defender where he just puts his shoulder down and drags himself to the front of the net. And one of those goes in, and it's a highlight reel goal that we're talking about right now and in the future. And I don't think, you know, I'd love to sit here and tell you that I'm not worried about Nash being out from an offensive standpoint, but the Rangers have made it pretty clear that without Zibanejad and Buchnevich, they're having some difficulties putting the puck in the back of the net, and these are not the October New York Rangers or even the first week of November New York Rangers. And you look up and down the lineup at guys who are maybe kind of not scoring for a variety of different reasons. Before the show, Beth gave a pop quiz to me and Mike, and she said, if I was about to complain about one thing that Vigneault was doing, what would it be? And it has nothing to do with the goalies. And I yelled out, benching Jimmy Vesey, and that was it, because we can't figure it out. So to be down Nash probably puts Peary back in the lineup, which is fine. But it's a pretty significant downgrade, because the Rangers just don't have a lot of players who can do what Nash does, even when they're fully healthy. And think we've seen the defense kind of become a little bit more of a hot-button issue, and Henrik Lundqvist has had to stand on his head, and we will get to him staring down the crab shortly. But, Mike, what are some of the long-term implications you think at this point when it comes to Lundqvist and, or excuse me, when it comes to Nash and him not being in the lineup?
Well, I think the big thing, you know, I mentioned before, the power play, I think, you know, there's a covering for four power play goals, but, you know, Nash obviously got, you know, crapped on by a lot of people last season for being hurt and, you know, having a really low shooting percentage and, you know, went down from 40 goals to, you know, less than 20. But then, you know, this year, you know, he's already missed the four games. And like I said, he's leading the team in shots by, I just looked at it, I think it's by a margin of 11. So when he's in the lineup, and especially at even strength and on the ice, you know, he gets shots and he generates scoring chances. And when you look at what he's, not just what he's looked like the past three games, but, you know, he was having a really, really promising start to his season. And, you know, if, like his points were front heavy, 13 goals, 7 assists. But, you know, I think all of us remember his beautiful shorthanded goal. And he's a guy. Oh, no, Beth. you know, he's a guy who's valuable in almost every scenario. Like, shorthanded, he's important to the team. On the power play, even though he's traditionally not a pick power play guy, he's important. And certainly at even strength, I mean, as Beth pointed out, you know, on a team with guys with big bodies like Hayes and Kreider, Nash is the guy who's driving the net hard and, you know, using his body to shield the puck and attack the crease and everything on the rush. And he's looked so damn good. And so it's spooky, really, just because if you think about, I'm sure some people will balk at this, but, you know, I think you can pretty comfortably call Buchnevich a top six forward on this team. And so the Rangers are now, I know we haven't talked about him so long, but Buchnevich, Zibanejad, and Nash are all out. That's a second line at least, you know, it's a big deal. And it's great that the team is winning, and we've seen them recently win a lot of close games after, you know, shooting the lights out early in the season. But being down likely the team's best center and a young prospect who, you know, the underlying numbers on Buchnevich when he was in the lineup were just unreal. And then obviously Nash is Nash. So, you know, he's the highest paid forward on the team, and it's for a good reason. He's the best three zone player on the team.
Beth?
What was the question?
What you thought
groin.
The impact of losing Nash was
groin,
going to
groin,
be.
Groin. The impact of him being gone?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, again, it's a huge impact. They did hang in during the games he was gone with the other side of the groin. So, you know, I mean, I do think they're capable of making it work. But watching him out there, I mean, he's a huge presence, literally and figuratively. He makes a tremendous difference. He makes all kinds of things happen. There are things that are possible when he's on the ice that aren't possible when he isn't. And, yeah, I mean, of course you want him there. So, you know, figure out your groin, Nash. What else is there to say?
He's a source of offense that the Rangers desperately need right now. And I think it was pretty easy to overlook his offensive contributions back in the beginning of the year when the Rangers were on pace to score like 400 goals. But overall, you miss a guy like Nash. And Mike is right. Between Nash, Buchnevich, and Mika Zibanejad, I wouldn't even say you have a second line. I'd say you have the Rangers' top line in a lot of respects.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to balk at Buchnevich being a top six forward on this team. And I would call Buchnevich one of the top three-way forwards on this team, a guy who has really been or has shown that he could be really good in all three zones. So this is obviously a big blow to the Rangers, and I have no idea what the timetable is on Buchnevich. It was supposed to be 3 weeks, like 6 weeks ago. So I guess we'll try to figure that one out. And Mika Zibanejad is still walking around in a boot.
Early January.
So,
yeah.
We have, there's a lot of time left to kind of work your way through this, and to not have Nash is a bit of an issue, because I think you could see just how dominant he can be for this team. And a pretty good example is what he did against the Devils and what he has
mm-hmm.
been. And that short side snipe against Nashville that pulls you out of your seat. The Rangers don't have a ton of players who can do that on an everyday basis right now, at least from a goal scoring standpoint. So something to be nervous about. And that kind of leads me to the point that Beth made before. It seems like Vigneault certainly has BC on the do not trust list, similar to a do not fly list, that you may be stopped in an airport and potentially probed, where he just can't find his way onto the ice in the third period. And in overtime, Vigneault has been good enough to use him in the shootout, but I don't understand how a guy who has more goals than Stepan, Fast, and I don't remember who the third player was combined, is a guy that you can't get onto the ice. And we talked about this last week after the game against Chicago, where Vigneault finally put BC back in, and he did some really incredible things. This is a guy who has a ton of offensive talent who, for whatever reason, isn't playing. And it's frustrating. And Beth, since you brought that up, you get to speak on this now.
I mean, there's just no, it bugs me, because this is a guy that any team would kill to have. And we saw this sort of loss of favor happen with Hayes in his second season with the Rangers. 20 pounds here, there, we can debate the reasons for that, you know, but there's a point at which it gets difficult to sort of figure out the chicken and egg thing. And is the player miserable and not playing well because clearly the coach has lost, you know, they've lost the coach's favor, or have they lost the favor because they're not playing well? I honestly have not seen VC do a single thing that would merit him being benched, much less as a rookie. And again, as a rookie that so many teams would kill to have. You know, I mean, he produces. There's really, he's done his job. So what on earth could he be being punished for? But again, we're talking about the coach that punishes Henrik Lundqvist. So, you know, at least VC can realize he's in good company. I mean, there's no rhyme or reason to it. I can't find anything. I can't think of anything. We don't even have to get into the whole game of, you know, accountability with the defense. I really, you know, you saw the reasons perhaps Vigneault sat Hayes last year and just wondered if the benching was the right way to play that. I don't think it was. I think it made Hayes worse. I think it made him less confident. But with VC, I don't even see the reasons. That's what confuses me. Do you guys see what it is that AV is seeing that's putting VC's butt back on the bench?
Mike, you want to crack at this? You want me to kick things off?
You swing first, because I think I have a whole other thing for it.
Well, that's encouraging for the direction that this podcast is going to go. I guess, no, the answer is probably far more simple than we'd like to believe it is. And I really do think it's because he's just an untrusted veteran. I mean, Jesper Fast had probably the worst possession numbers yesterday, and he played the most even strength time. There really is no rhyme or reason, at least from an analytical standpoint, where you can sit there and say, okay, he did this, 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 and this. But down the stretch, you're down a goal, and you need someone who can shoot the puck. Nash, VC, I mean, these are your best goal scorers right now. Throw maybe JT Miller in there, or Stepan and Kreider, or not Stepan, Kreider and Kevin Hayes. But those are the guys that you need to get on the ice. And unfortunately, he has not found a way onto the ice for a bunch of different reasons, I'm sure. But this is not Michael Silvers, who was good enough to join us in the chat, thankfully. I think second week in a row we've made it easy for you. But he's saying he doesn't know if it's the actual timing, because the NCAA schedules only 40 games and VC's already approaching 40 games. But I think it just has a lot more to do with the way that Vigneault prioritizes his players. Top to bottom, he has a list of guys that he trusts. He has a list of guys that he doesn't trust. And this definitely looks like a situation where he does not trust Vesey in the third period of a close game because he doesn't think he's defensively good enough. But again, this is the guy who used to play Tanner Glass, down a man to protect the late lead. So we're not necessarily saying that he makes the best personnel decisions, but I don't think there's anything to see. I think it's very simply just this is the way that Vigneault operates, and until a player has had the opportunity to earn his trust and to court his trust like a 16th century husband, you just have to kind of work your way into the lineup whenever you can, and that's what's happening right now. Mike, your rant?
Well, first of all, are you suggesting that people still don't court one another?
I would say not.
Wait,
like they
do. What century husband was that? I missed it.
16.
Okay.
I think that flies. You know, courting.
Well, if you'd said 15th,
him.
You would have made a fool of yourself. But yeah, 16th is okay.
See, I don't make a fool of myself all the time.
I'm just wondering how much your wife is going to enjoy Valentine's this year. That's all. Anyway,
probably not
I think
much.
Something that's interesting to me, and the seed was kind of put in my head when I did the conference call with Mark Messier earlier, towards the end of last week, I think. And Messier described Jágr as like a blue line in player. You know, that's where you notice someone like Jágr. And Vesey is obviously a completely different animal, but that's where he's going to make his mark. You know, he's a guy who, you know, he's capable of making, fine enough neutral zone and defensive zone plays, but he doesn't make the sort of plays that, you know, you notice guys like Nash or Miller make. He's a guy who's knows where to be for the receiving end, you know, to be on the receiving end of passes around the net. He's, like, Joey, you wrote a piece on him a while ago or last week where you described, he's an opportunistic scorer. Like, he finds the ways to get the rebounds and, you know, the tap-in goals, and he knows where to be to make that impact. And that's a huge skill in its own right. And he also, you know, he's not one of those guys who has, you know, like a, you know, like an Alexei Kovalev shot or anything like that. But, you know, when you think of a player like that, those are the players you really have to be careful with making sure you give them an opportunity to succeed, because it's a very frustrating thing to figure out, you know, what you can do with a guy like Vesey if you don't give him the opportunity to get, you know. And I know that a lot of people think, you know, offensive zone face-offs and zone start numbers are not as terribly important as we might have thought they were a year or two ago with analytics. But you want Vesey in the situations where he is in the offensive zone, and that means putting him with the right guys, and that means putting him on the ice when the puck is in the offensive zone, you know, on the power play and all that. So it'll be really interesting to see what AV does with Nash out, because the most logical guy, I mean, it's logical to plug Peary back in, but it's also very logical to move Vesey up the depth chart with Nash out, because, you know, as you said, Joe, he's the guy who can score goals. I mean, 10 goals in 33 games, and, you know, he's been streaky and, you know, all that stuff, but he's also a rookie. And, I wrote a piece for FanRag Sports about Vesey, where, you know, I took a closer look at his numbers, and the big thing that stands out from him and the other rookies who are scoring a lot of goals this year is, you know, the Patrick Laine's of the world and all that, is he's getting like 4 or 5 minutes less ice time per game. So, you know, if you think about what Vesey might do if he's put in more of a position to succeed and treated truly like, you know, a top six winger, it would be great to see that, but so far I don't think we've really seen that. We've seen it in fits and bursts, but then you see him, you know, he scores a huge, you know, symbolic and otherwise goal in the shootout in Nashville while he's getting, you know, booed. And then the next game, he's riding the pine. I mean, goal scorers, really offensively gifted players, you know, they will make mistakes and, you know, stuff like that. But he's a rookie. Let him be a rookie. Let him be on the ice.
That's an issue that Vigneault has had with a lot of different players, though. And when you talk about – so the article I wrote just tried to break down some of VC's goals, and Mike put it about as elegantly as I did not, which is that he is an opportunistic scorer. VC is really good at finding those soft spots on the ice and being in the right place in the right time. And a lot of people might point to that and say, okay, this is him being really lucky, but it's actually VC being smart enough to know where to go. And the Rangers don't have a ton of shot-first players, and VC is one of them. And we talked about this before Dylan McElrath got traded, but in a lot of senses, Vigneault is perfectly – yeah, you're right. Beth is drunk. We probably shouldn't bring up McElrath. Not Dylan McElrath.
No, I'm fine.
Where
that was
you don't
very
really know,
thoroughly I'm fine.
You don't really know what you have, in a sense, and – I think VC should be moved up in the depth chart. That makes the most sense. But more important than that, what is it that you do to – why wouldn't you use him? Why wouldn't you overuse him? Why wouldn't you get an idea of what it is that you have? And in the glimpses that we've seen an unbelievably gifted goal scorer who is not playing as much and with the players that you'd like to see him play. And when Vigneault finally gave VC the reins against Chicago, he was their best player. And that's not to insinuate that VC would have been the best player last night or would have made things completely different. But this is not the first time that we've seen VC get benched in the third period. And it's frustrating because this is a guy who can definitely do some really, really good things with the puck. And a guy who has, to this point, done some really, really good things with the puck. And if you have this expectation that he's going to be on the team for a long time and everybody gushes about how good he is, well, he should probably get that type of ice time, no? And that's kind of, you know, that's where I am right now. This is where you butter your ducks, where you get the opportunity to just put butter on a duck is right here, where you're kind of running down the stretch a little bit. You need some wins, and you need an opportunity to – Lundqvist is back. You had a little bit of a goalie controversy that you created. Why not give these guys the best opportunity? With players out like Zibanejad and Buchnevich, VC should be getting a ton of ice time. Just to see what you have, even up front. Beth, anything you want to throw in here?
I don't know. I mean, we saw the suggestion in the chat that maybe he's, you know, AV is acclimating him from an NCAA schedule, which is possible. I mean, for all we know,
yeah,
he's sucking wind on the bench and we don't see it. And, I mean, that would be a logical reason. I dream of logical reasons. I haven't seen him looking gassed personally, but, you know, it could happen. And, again, taking a scorer like VC off the ice just seems like shooting your team in the foot. But, I mean, I guess we'll see. He didn't maybe when, I don't know, do they have a break coming up, right?
They do. They'll have the holiday break. But just to not to interrupt you, but you talk about shooting yourself in the foot. This is the same coach that continues to play Dan Girardi as a top line defenseman.
No,
I know. You know, it's not like we're in a world of logic ending out.
Yeah, they're not rubbing their groins and they're shooting themselves in the foot.
Remember to rub your groin.
It's very important.
Stretch your groin. We don't need any rubbing. I mean, if somebody needs to rub it, then that's...
Sometimes you need someone to rub it.
You need a professional to come in and...
Yeah, a masseuse, if you will.
Masseuse.
If you will.
You know, riding the hot hand. All these things are important. Speaking of riding the hot hand, Vigneault traded in one hot hand for an even hotter hand. He threw Lundqvist back in against Dallas. Lundqvist got annihilated by Cody Eakin.
Oh, I can't believe we haven't talked about that.
Yeah,
holy
let's
cow.
Talk about that for a minute. That is a gross, disgusting, dirty, intentional hit. I love Lindy Ruff trying to play it off like it wasn't that big of a deal, because if that happened to Dallas, Lindy Ruff probably would have taken a stick, broken it, and then used the broken shards to try to murder whoever it was hit his goaltender. Eakin was suspended.
Well, they don't
four
have
games.
A goaltender. They have.
It's true.
Two half.
And they do when they play us. Let's face it.
So does everybody.
Yeah,
I'm waiting
true.
For a team to sign me and put me in net against the Rangers, and I'll have a shutout unintentionally. So Eakin gets four games. Lundqvist is fine. I thought he might have concussion symptoms. He didn't. He came back in the game, thankfully, and then he came back against the Devils and played really well. Lundqvist is staring down the Crabs right now. Thoughts on the hit, on the suspension, or just on Lundqvist? Mike, take us away.
The big thing I took away at first was there was a little bit of a debate going on with people about, you know, what a player is expected to do in that scenario and whether or not we, you know, the whole football thing, like, are quarterbacks too protected and then are goalies too protected in hockey. But I think this was a very black and white, like, Lundqvist had every right. He was making a, you know, I call it pedestrian in the sense that it happens every day all the time in hockey. You know, going behind the net to stop the puck when it's swung around the boards, he has every right to do that. A goalie has a, you know, it's not out of the norm. He wasn't doing anything unexpected or shocking. And then Eakin, you know, the thing that a lot of people pointed out, he's never had any disciplinary issues before. He is, you know, a bottom six, you know, heart and soul guy. You know, skates hard, finishes checks, and all that. But when you watch, you know, when you watch it a bunch of times and from different angles, there's no hiding what happened. I mean, it's very clearly an intentional hit. It wasn't like a collision or he bumped him or, you know, people freak out when guys clip goalies behind the net. This was a shoulder to the head. You know, the freaking helmet came off of Lundqvist's head. So, my big thing with it is, other than the fact that I was relieved Hank was okay and all that stuff, but I remember earlier in the year when Raanta had he had to do the concussion protocol. Lundqvist went into the game and he got lit up. And then after the game, he was talking about whether or not, you know, it's fair for, you know, goalies don't get to warm up when, you know, a goalie gets pulled, but they at least get to kind of mentally prepare themselves to step onto the ice for NHL hockey. But in situations like that, you know, when Raanta had to come in for Hank, and I think he's, you know, four or five shots, but, you know, wouldn't it be more fair if there's a concussion protocol because of an injury caused by the other team to give, you know, the backup goalie or the bench goalie a couple moments, you know, to get his head on right, or, you know, it's because it's not the same circumstance. It's not, you know, the goalie's let in, you know, 8 goals on 12 shots, so we're giving him, you know, we're yanking him off stage. But I think the only other thing I wanted to add, and I guess I'll hand it off to Beth with this because I think she might make another allusion to McElrath, but it was really interesting to see the crustaceans of the Rangers fan base get so up in arms about no one coming to Hank's defense. And, you know, because it happens every time when there's a dirty hit or there's a play like this where this amazing debate of whether or not the presence of a tough guy is an effective preventative measure or not. And it, each and every time it drives me crazy, but I don't want to launch into that rant, so I'll let Beth take it from here.
Well, I mean, it's been, like, statistically proven that it isn't a deterrent, right? I mean, it may cause some fireworks after the fact, but just the plain old fact of even in the enforcer era, one or two on each team, just the very fact of their existence sort of disproves the idea that nobody's ever going to do anything to anybody. And again, you know, it's a little odd just, you know, in hockey logic that Nash is the only one who made sort of a half-hearted effort to go after Eakin. I mean, again, if we did still, and I'm going to go there because let's face it, Dylan McElrath would be in jail right now if he had been on the ice when that happened. He would be in jail. We would have to be riding
riding a hot hand in jail.
Wow. So it's Christmas.
Does it make it any less true?
I don't think Dylan McElrath rides any hands that he doesn't want to, being Dylan McElrath.
Well, this is taking a turn.
Wait, what are we talking about now?
I don't know. It is Christmas and you'd want to be warm from the hot hands.
We were talking about, well, unless Beth, do you have anything to add, or did you just spiral off into where you are?
I put Dylan McElrath in imaginary jail, and, you know, I think we can leave it at that, so.
Okay, here's where I'll jump into that point for you, Mike. And this is the official stance that I took after it happened. I would have been perfectly fine with somebody bloodying Eakin after it happened. I'm not saying that I would have been against or that it should not have happened. I want to make that clear. But beating the crap out of someone, A, doesn't stop the hit from happening, and B, we've already seen that it doesn't deter anything. Lundqvist has been run with Tanner Glass and Dylan McElrath in the lineup. These guys are not necessarily looking at the bench and thinking, oh no, our enforcer may have to fight Tanner Glass if we do anything crazy tonight, guys. Enforcers don't deter anything. They don't stop anything. The only thing they do is make you feel a little bit better because they punch someone in the face who you think you might want to punch in the face if you were actually a professional hockey player. That's all it is. Steve Zappe was like, oh, maybe Lundqvist is upset with the team because they didn't defend him. I love how we're not allowed to speculate whether or not Lundqvist is unhappy with the fact that he didn't play four games in a row. But the team not fighting because he got cheap-shotted is something that he's going to be upset about. I think he has much bigger things to worry about. And I don't think there's this dynamic where Lundqvist feels like the only reason why Lundqvist would be frustrated in that locker room is because his head coach decided that he didn't give the team the best chance to win four times in a row. That's the only thing that he would talk about specifically that would make you really sit there and think to yourself, oh, wow, that's something that would upset me if I was in that locker room. I do think it was a little bizarre that Brady Shea just like skated after the puck after seeing Lundqvist get destroyed. Jimmy Vesey at least made a half-hearted effort to do something, but you're no less a man or no less a hockey player because you didn't decide you were going to go bloody someone on the ice. I don't buy that. I don't believe that. I don't care. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't make Hank healthy again. It doesn't do anything. It just makes you feel better as a fan, and that's one of the reasons why I think John Tortorella was so beloved when he was here. He used to say things that would make you be like, oh, my God, I would like, oh, Sidney Crosby's a whining crybaby. I say that, too. It doesn't help anything. I'm not saying he's wrong. I'm just saying it doesn't help anything. So,
Tortorella, I remember the one game where, you know, I don't remember if it was against Pittsburgh, but he made Stu Bickel take a face-off for a line brawl. Remember that?
I also remember when he did that against the Devils. There's a lot that goes into it. This isn't even old-time hockey. It's just, what does it do? You get to fight someone because, you know, you make the decision that, okay, it's not okay that they hit our goalie. And listen, I'm not sitting there to tell you that you should be okay with someone running Lundqvist. I'm just saying that you should be far angrier that the Rangers only generated five shots on net with a full 2-minute 5-on-3 and then another 3 minutes of the 5-minute major than you should be that no one fought. It doesn't change anything. It doesn't mean you're soft. It doesn't mean you're weak. I hate that mob mentality when it comes to fighting and, you know, all that nonsense in hockey. It just doesn't mean anything. But on
is
the flip
Eakin
going
to be back when they play them again?
Yeah, he'd have to
or
be,
no.
Right? I think he's only got a 4-game suspension.
All right.
So, look, you want to get your revenge, whatever. But again, who are the Rangers going to send out there? And this was
an opportunity. That's what I'm wondering.
This was an opportunity for a few people to be like, oh, it's time to bring back Tanner Glass. It is not at all. That is wrong. Do not say that. Don't be that person. And I just, I think there's a lot of frustration that comes with it. And again, these are the same people who are like, oh, Hank doesn't deserve to be starting. Ronta's the new starting goalie. I don't care. Hank is washed up. This is for the good of the team. And then you really think that Lundqvist is going to turn around and be like, huh, I'm really pissed off that nobody on my team defended me. I just don't think it works like that. And maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think it works like
that. My favorite example of this whole, you know, an eye for an eye, you know, keeps people who make eye patches in business thing is when many years ago when Donald Brashear concussed Blair Betts, I mean, and that season, you know, Betts was with the Rangers, and then over the offseason, the Rangers signed Brashear, and they parted way with Betts because in many ways, it looks like his, you know, his career was over, I think. And you think about, because the thing I always point to with this stuff is, all right, so you have that guy who's that deterrent. Because, you know, this isn't, you know, 80s hockey where you have Bob Probert and every team has, you know, a Marty McSorley or a Bob Probert or whoever the hell. You know, this is the modern game where we talked a lot about, you know, how great it is to have four lines that can score at the Rangers. And so, all right, so, you know, the Rangers chose at that time, all right, we'll have Brashear, we won't have Blair Betts, who was a very, very good fourth line center that was great at winning faceoffs. You know, didn't do a lot other than, you know, defensive zone stuff and faceoffs, but he was fine. And they got an aging goon. One of the last real kind of goons they had. And I think we all remember how Brashear and Broadway worked out. So it's the same. All right. So who would come out of the lineup if someone like Glass or someone else goes in, then what does that mean for, you know, the quality of the team's play? And also with this particular team, there's young guys that you want to give a chance and develop on every line. Even right now with, you know, people injured, you don't want a guy who's, you know, and it's also timely because there's been a couple articles recently out of Hartford about, you know, how Glass is, you know, really, you know, kind of pushing to get back into the NHL and how he doesn't think his career is over. That was a terrible sound, whoever made it. That sounded like an X-wing going
furniture upstairs,
yeah.
Because
yeah,
what better
than like an X-wing attacking the Death Star?
when your husband is on the podcast, do such things.
But yeah, I completely forgot where it was. Anyway, tough guys.
Glass and returning to the NHL.
You want young guys good, and the whole point is that even a guy like Brandon Peary, you know, he was a healthy scratch recently. People forget Peary will be an RFA. He's under 25 years old. There's obviously, we already know what he is, kind of just, you know, another kind of blue line in player with a great shot that frequently misses the net nowadays. But, you know, you don't want, can you imagine like Peary on a line with Glass or just, I don't know. It frustrates me just because it's very short-sighted, and it's even worse when it comes to those guys on the blue line, because you can only dress 6D every night. You really want one of them to be, you know, a guy who just runs around and murders people? Just, it doesn't
right.
make sense.
And that kind of becomes the question is, what do you prioritize your team skills as? Is there a priority that goes to having skill in the lineup? Is there a priority that goes to having a guy on the bench that you could deploy to beat the crap out of people if you need it? And I've never prioritized that, the latter. I've never thought it's important to have a guy who can just step up and fight, because normally those guys are the only thing that they bring to the table is that aspect of the game. And I don't think it's there anymore. And with the game, look, and hockey's changing. And I think maybe it's appropriate to say that hockey's changed, where you don't need those guys anymore. Nobody expects teams to win with those guys anymore. I mean, we do the whole, you know, show me Pittsburgh's show me Pittsburgh's enforcer last year. You know, show me Chicago's enforcer. Show me the Los Angeles Kings enforcer. Being a tough team does not necessarily equal being a team full of enforcers, and that's where I think a lot of people have issues understanding. You look at a team like the Los Angeles Kings that ended up being a very rough and tough team, but they could also play hockey, and that's the big difference. The big difference is that you have players who are capable, like Lucic is a great example. Right. Lucic is a great example of someone who can play hockey and be a tough guy. In his primes, Zdeno Chara was a good example of that. Brashears of the world, the Tanner Glasses of the world, there's just no place for them anymore. And if you build a team under the assumption that those guys are going to be something that you need, something that's going to make you better, then I think you're boxing yourself into a corner. And it's something the Rangers have done quite a bit of. The Rangers are already bad enough at choosing who is the best player to dress in the lineup on any given day, because Dan Girardi is still a top pairing defenseman. So there's no middle ground. The game is changing. The game is completely changed, and it's not what it used to be. And a lot of these crustaceans, as Mike called them, look and they say, well, see, this is why you need Tanner Glass in the lineup, or this is why you need a tough guy, because that shit doesn't happen. Well, guess what? That shit does happen. It would happen with Glass in the lineup. That hit would happen no matter who was in the lineup. It does not matter. It just happens. It's hockey.
I love that Kreider puts on a good show of liking to drop the gloves. But let's face it. I mean, the guy is a beast. He's incredibly strong. But he's not a great fighter. He really isn't.
You don't need him to fight either.
Of course you don't want him to fight. But I have seen two moments when the guy has searched out the spotlight to beckon to an opponent and drop his gloves. He likes it. He wants to do it. But, yeah, I don't want him out of the lineup. And, frankly, he's not good at it as maybe he thinks he is. So, yeah, it's I mean, if he gets a chance to pick the guy up and throw him, he will succeed at that. But in terms of the actual fisticuffs, Kreider does not do quite as well as he thinks he does. This is probably why he has me blocked on Twitter, actually. He does. I've never figured out why.
Before we get into that, because I do want to dig into that, right before you all leave, we're going
to
go into the Tony time. I'd like to thank all of our Patreon subscribers. You guys are the sponsors of the show. Go to patreon.com/blueshirtbanter. Please donate. If you do, we can make the show better. I know that you're sitting here listening and thinking to yourself, my God, can the show get any better? But it can. So a big thank you to Anthony Viola, Dan Lynch, Matt Bader, Eric Cohn, who said that he wanted to, he might upgrade his donation service to make us all do a drunk podcast. And Beth is testing that theory out right now. Michael Silvers, who's finally back in the chat. Trevor Kempner, Thomas Osa, Alexander Thornton, and Nicholas Forlenza. Also, just wanted to thank Adam Herman. For those of you who missed it, he was on Fox 5 in New York doing a segment about the Lundqvist hit, representing Blue Shirt Banter. That happened. Patreon.com/BlueShirtBanter. Remember that. Stretch your groin, people. Stretch it. Rub it.
On Christmas morning, stretch
Not
that groin.
On Christmas morning, stretch it. Anyway, Beth, back to you and being blocked by Chris Kreider. I can't even think of a reason why that would be the case. Now, I'll tell you a story.
I really do.
Since we're sharing. Back when Michael
Golzano
went on a huge blocking spree, I was blocked by Michael Delzato. Way back, this was a couple of years ago. He went on a huge blocking spree, and I found out that I was blocked by Delzato. So I was kind of annoyed because I was very heavily ridiculed. I was so adamant about defending Delzato that they used to make fun of me on the website as actually being Michael Delzato in disguise running the website. So he blocked me, and I made it known that I couldn't understand why he blocked me. And then he unblocked me, I think just to like see some of the things that I had been saying, and then reblocked me. So I have no idea what the deal was there, but I think everybody has one of those Twitter. It just says one of those Twitter followers that blocks them. Like, there's a guy, I don't want to give out his handle because I'm not a jerk, but I've never had one interaction with him ever, not once, and he hates my guts and he blocked me. And I know that I get retweeted into his timeline sometimes, and that pleases me. Anyway, Beth, what did you do to Carter?
So many things. So many, things. No, I have no idea. Called him a bad fighter, apparently.
Maybe this is the episode where Law and Order actually comes.
Boom, boom.
Boom, boom. what were we talking about? Oh, Lundquist. We were talking about Glass, actually, but it started with Lundquist. And
I'm just going to think if anyone's blocked me on Twitter, I think I would be upset.
You probably would be, because you're a really nice
guy. Someone now will do that, I'm sure, but...
Yeah, but it'll be a crab person. Very quickly, Henrik Lundqvist, did he ever leave back? I don't think he really ever left, but I think we can all put this Ranta stuff to the side, correct, Beth?
Yeah, I can. Yeah, he's back. He's what he always was, and crab people can suck it.
Suck it, crab people. Mike?
Yeah, it's interesting because I think a lot of people will point out the fact that, you know, maybe, or not the fact, but they'll say, well, maybe this is what Hank needed was, you know, to be challenged and all that stuff. But I have such a hard time with that because it's it can't be disproved because it also can't be proved. It's not, you know, it's just one of those weird, you know. It's just a nothing statement. It doesn't mean anything. And we talked about it a bit last time with the whole, you know, how some players, you know, can respond better to that. But, you know, we also went into the whole thing of, you know, the coaching differences with, you know, coaches who will put players, you know, under the spotlight and criticize them to the media, which is so... It's so weird because so often, you know, coaches will, you know, when they're asked about, you know, when I've interviewed coaches and stuff, if you ask about a specific player, they'll broaden it, even when it's painfully clear the player had a bad game, you know, they'll broaden it to, you know, oh, the whole team struggled, you know, that line struggled and that stuff, you know, they don't like to assign blame. But I think, like we said last week, even Hank not being, you know, on top of his game is still a good to very good NHL goaltender. This is just Hank being Hank now. And frankly, he can be even better than this. So, and, you know, Joe also, you know, last week he pointed out he's always a slow starter. So it's not a slow starter compared to, you know, what he does. Meanwhile, you know, the win over the Devils, I think he just tied Dominic Hasek's record for, mm-hmm, you know, most wins by a European-born goalie. So, you know, if that little tidbit doesn't say enough about who Lundqvist is, I don't know if anything will. He's clearly still Henrik Lundqvist.
I think I've written a lot of things this week. But, yeah, Lundqvist, there is no return. And I've gotten – look, there were a ton of people, there really were, who thought that Ranta was the best option, and they see what Lundqvist is doing now, and I think it's very fair to say that Lundqvist is put in a position with a defense that really wasn't what it should be, and with an offense that was getting the job done and then wasn't getting the job done, that isn't necessarily the best recipe for a goaltender to come in and dominate. And like I've said, when you need your goalie to be the best goalie in the league to win a hockey game consistently, you're not doing your job as a team. And that's something the Rangers have never gotten beyond. Beth, your thoughts on this?
No, I mean, it's ridiculous what he's been put through. And honestly, my hockey mom heart broke when he used the word desperate to describe his situation. Because who in their right mind puts a goalie like Henrik Lundqvist in a situation where he feels desperate? And what irritates me, and again, this is sort of related to what we talked about with Hayes and Basie before, I'm sure there are people out there who think that Hank is now playing better because AV benched him. Exactly, right? Your head wants to explode. Your head wants to explode and kill every crab in the world. Sorry, crabs. Real crabs are fine. I mean, crab people. But, yeah, I mean, I'm sure that – and, you know, probably the worst thing is that what if AV thinks that? What if AV thinks he did the perfect thing to take his star goalie down a peg and now look at how he's playing? You know what? I want to, like, throw my phone across the room and run away just because I said that. He's Henrik Lundqvist, and we know he can do that. I mean, like I said on Twitter earlier today, I was at the game last night. The cheers, I've never heard cheers like that for him outside the playoffs. And, I mean, yeah, of course, it was 3-on-3, and there was a shootout, so there was the opportunity for that. But, you know, the overwhelming majority of people are behind him and know what they have with him. And, you know, anything that says otherwise, but also anything that makes him feel otherwise, it's just, I really think it's beside the point. It's detrimental. And yes, I'm not a coach. No, I've never played in the NHL. Let's get all the disclaimers out there. But, you know, what? I've met human beings, and it just doesn't seem like a good way to inspire them. Call me crazy.
You know the crabs are out there. I mean, you really do. And they're just like, oh, God, Lundqvist is only playing better because Anthony Ranta came in for those four games. And because, you know, because AV knew what buttons to push. That's a load of crap. It really is. And listen, I'm all for Ranta playing really well. And I'm all for the Rangers having an elite backup. But there was never really any question for who the guy going forward is. And if that's the case, then why are you pushing things when it comes to Henrik Lundqvist playing or not playing? That's ultimately what it comes down to. It's upsetting me so much that I'm choking on my own spit.
Yep.
And that's where I am right now. Lundqvist is going to be Lundqvist. He's never, ever let you down. Like, you have no idea what you have in Henrik Lundqvist if you don't appreciate him. He's going to walk out the door and you'll never, ever, ever see him again, and you'll never see a goalie like him again, and it's gonna be really eye-opening for the Crabs, and by then it's going to be too far. And since we're speaking about the Crabs, let's pull them out of the sand holes one more time. A lot of people think Derek Stepan hasn't been good enough. They don't think he's producing enough. They don't think he's a number one center, which I think is all a bunch of crap. Stepan has been one of the Rangers' better defensive forwards. Everybody likes to point out Stepan's goals. Derek Stepan has never been a goal scorer. At some point, people need to realize that players have a history, and a history that speaks to who and what they are. For example, Keith Yandel was never a goal scorer. So don't talk to me about how many goals Keith Yandel hasn't scored, because he doesn't score a lot of goals. Derek Stepan's the same way. I think he leads the team in primary assists. What more do you want from him? Enough. Michael, jump in here.
What? Oh, yeah. Derek Stepan's very good at hockey. It's, you know, it's a big thing, you know, talked about it, especially, you know, at the beginning of the year. One of the big storylines is, you know, whether or not Stepan will finally crack that, you know, crack the 60-point mark that, you know, feels like, for a lot of people, that feels like, you know, you got to do that if you're going to be talked about as a first-line center at some point. You know, you have to reach that plateau, and, you know, Stepan's not on pace to do that right now. But, you know, I don't have a ton of issues with his play. I still, you know, there's still a part of me that, you know, I question whether or not he's as essential as we maybe thought he was a year or two ago, just because of what Hayes is and how good, you know, Zibanejad has looked when, you know, his leg hasn't been broken. But I don't know. I don't have a ton of issues with Stepan. He's really underrated away from the puck. And, you know, as Joe pointed out, he and McDonough are tied for, you know, 11 primary assists. So, you know, in 33 games, you know, I think it's 34 games. The 22 points, 34 games, and 11 primary assists. It's a primary assist every three games, and throw in six goals in there. He's fine. Is he brilliant? No, but you know he's getting the job done. He's the guy who's second on the team in shots, actually, behind Nash. So, I don't think there's a lot to freak out about his game. But on the same page, I also don't think there's too much to really, you know, celebrate about his game. You know, it's become a very low key. He's not going to make a ton of huge mistakes. He's going to go out there and, you know, put up, you know, 50, 55 points. And you know what? That's fine. I mean, the contract the Rangers signed him to was a pretty big investment in, you know, a young guy who came up the organization and, frankly, for a long time was the only center this team has developed in a really long time. But, you know, I don't think there's too much to be concerned about, Stefan. There's still a lot of hockey to be played.
Yeah, I'm not concerned either. We haven't seen bad things from him. This whole thing about needing the constant production of goals, on one hand, from a logic perspective, I understand it. But on the other hand, I mean, in a lot of ways, the forward lines have been reconfigured this year. And I feel like Stepan's one of those guys who had to sort of sit back for a little bit and figure out what his new role was, even when he's playing with people he's played with before. And I feel like, you know, he's got the assists, he's getting the goals again. And, you know, sometimes you have to be, I realize there's not a lot of patience in hockey fandom. But sometimes you
especially
do need to be a little
York.
Patient. Yeah, especially not in New York. We are very, very, very tough on our teams, especially the ones who can actually hear us yelling at them. And, you know, he's doing what he's paid to do. And I think he's only going to be doing it better as time goes on right now. He does seem to be finding a groove that, you know what, even if he wasn't quite in it scoring wise at the beginning of the season, again, sometimes things just take time and people need to fall back into a rhythm. And it was a beautiful goal he had last night. And, yeah, let's just, again, there's no reason to be lamenting his performance right now.
Yeah, and it's amazing what happens when you have the right personnel on the ice. I mean, this is why we were bitching so much about Clendenning not being used in the final minute of a game. Because you need a guy like McDonough who's smart enough to know, oh, I could throw the puck really tough to step on. He can deflect it into the net. And that's exactly what happened. But I think from an actual hockey standpoint, Rangers fans are so ungrateful. I don't even know what the right word is to use. They're just nothing is ever good enough.
You know what it is? It's probably the people who were complaining about Nash realized that they ain't about him anymore. So now they've decided to just shift their attentions over to Stepan. You know, I mean,
but like, if you're a Rangers fan and Henrik Lundqvist isn't good enough for you, what's wrong with you? Well, I don't understand. I really don't. How could you look at this team? How could you have been a fan of this team for an extended period of time and think to yourself, okay, Henrik Lundqvist isn't good enough for me anymore? Honestly, that's like getting a car for your 16th birthday and not even like a regular car, like a Ferrari. And you driving it around for a while and being like, I think I'm going to trade it in for like a Toyota Camry or something. You'll never ever, I know I keep saying this, you will never ever see a goaltender this good on Broadway ever again. You won't. Lundqvist just tied Dominik Hasek for the most wins ever by a European goaltender with like 389, I think. Think about that for a minute.
Lundqvist, and he did it sooner, didn't he? Did he do it sooner?
Yeah, he's won 389 games as a goaltender for the New York Rangers. It took Richter his entire career to get there. And granted, he was on much worse teams and he had injury troubles, but just appreciate what you have. Try to appreciate it. And again, these are the same people who will defend Dan Girardi to the death. And I hate to keep bringing him up, but you're going to defend him to the death. And Henrik Lundqvist is the guy you're going to throw out the window. I mean, come on now, seriously. Be better than that, or at least try to be better than that. Ride the hot hand a little, feel a little bit better, and then you'll be good to go. you know, drink a Zuka Cola, a delicious, refreshing Zuka Cola, and that's all. It's just, it's very frustrating to, A, be told you hate the team, which we get all the time for different analytical viewpoints, and then be told by the same people that, well, you know, Lundqvist, Ranta should be starting. I don't have time for it. It gives me a headache, and it's where we are right now. It really is. But I will say this. I think the Rangers have, they've beaten some pretty good teams. That was a good game against Nashville. You'd like to see the Rangers play better against the Devils, but the Rangers always have those little, they always have those little blips in the radar when it comes to division rivalries. And I think the Rangers have proven that they can be resilient, and I really am genuinely curious to see what the Rangers have in store when everybody comes back fully healthy. There's definitely something to be very excited about from that standpoint, but I also think that they're still kind of falling into the same traps, and injuries have sort of been an issue, and maybe this team is kind of poised to be fully healthy when the playoffs come around, but I'm not really sure, to be completely honest with you. I'm really not. Anything you guys want to throw out there?
No? I really like JT Miller.
Oh, yeah, we didn't even talk about JT Miller. Or Kevin Hayes, this, like, budding bromance between the two of them that I think is going to turn into something that Rangers fans are going to be really happy with. And they've shown some incredible chemistry on the ice. They really have.
I like when Kreider picks up Zuccarello. I like that.
Like his little princess?
That's good.
Yeah.
Those are very special.
More of that.
Hayes just did a little dance the other night, too. Not last night, but the shootout goal, right? Against the Predators, I think. There was dancing. I'm not sure there should have been, but there was.
DC's shootout goal against DC's shootout goal against Nashville was disgusting. Zuccarello's goals against Nashville and against the Devils. Oh my God! Corey Schneider was
disgusting.
Back in the fourth grade after that Deke. It was incredible. Again, there's a lot to be excited about, honestly, with what the Rangers have shown. I'm just not sure. I don't want to say what type of team they are, but I just don't think we have all the answers yet in terms of expectations and what we should be expecting and, you know, what we're expecting to see. Things are only going to get harder. Teams are learning how to play against the Rangers. They're clogging up the neutral zone quite a bit more. They're making life difficult for the Rangers defenders. And Nick Holden, I think, has sort of earned a spot in this, I want to say, second pair role. And we didn't really talk about it, but he was ready. When Lindbergh got laced up with a perfectly clean hit against Dallas, Holden actually threw his gloves on the ground and was ready to go fight whoever it was who laid the hit. I thought that was an awesome moment. But I think the Rangers definitely have some good things that are going on for them right now. Lundqvist getting back on his game is only a good thing. Mika Zibanejad coming back, Pavel Buchnevich, if he ever does come back. These are only good things for the Rangers.
Why would you say that, Joe? Why?
Well, I'm just saying. Where is
Has
he?
Anyone
is he
seen
doing?
Him? Do we have pictures of him?
No,
where
he's not even
he?
Skating.
I am worried about it. No, he's skating on his own, it said the other day.
That's what they say.
Who are they?
You believe everything that you
the
hear,
Russians.
Mike?
I don't know. I mean, look at the world we're living in right now.
Oh, boy.
Are you
knows?
Insinuating that the Russians are holding Buchnevich back?
I did not bring up the Russians, but you did. And because you did, yes. Yes, I do.
See what you've done, Beth? You think that
I came out and said it. I think that some shady deal happened between Putin and Trump, and no one's seen Buchnevich since then. So, you know, do the math.
Could you imagine that was what sealed the election? Listen, you give me back Buchnevich, and I will give you the election. That's
probably what the whole thing was for, let's face it.
He's
really good at hockey.
I want Buchnevich back on the ice as much as anyone does. I wish we had a little bit more of an update out of him. Not hearing anything is scarier than...
That's the sinister thing.
Right, that's sinister. What a word.
That
is the sinister thing.
But that's
not
what
knowing.
It is. I mean, wasn't the last comment we got on him, like, when someone asked when he'd be playing, and they're like, oh, well, you know, we're still just worried about his skating. Worried about his skating? What the hell happened to him?
Well, that's
you guys remember the thing I'm talking about?
this
and they're
is
like,
the
well,
three,
you know, he's not even really skating yet.
This is the 3 week thing. He was supposed to be back in 3 weeks, and that was before Thanksgiving. Now it's Christmas. So what
yeah, the daily on December 6th, the Daily News said he was on the ice by himself. But that's December 6th, so that's 2 weeks ago.
How did you find that and, so quickly? Are you a witch?
Because, no, there's a thing, Joe. It's called the internet.
I know nothing of this internet.
And you can find out all sorts of things about Russians on it. It's very good.
Riding
yeah,
hot hands.
Oh, my and God. The Canadian and U.S. women are headed to OT.
Oh, God.
Canada scored in the last 28 seconds. They're tied 1-1.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with Buchnevich. And I don't even know what the deal is with Zibanejad either. Not that he's behind schedule, but he's still in a boot. So I think we got a little bit of time to go there, too.
Well, at least we saw what happened to him. I mean, there's no doubt about
that. That's a good point. Yeah. And don't forget, too, the Buchnevich stuff came based off of Walmart. I have a bed for the dog in the basement, and this is the fourth time.
Wait, how many
that he's
do you
come.
Have?
I have one dog, but I have four beds for him.
How many beds?
I have one bed in the basement. I have one bed next to my bed, and then we have what me and my wife call a high bed, which is two beds on top of each other in the living room that he sleeps on. And the bed in the basement, he really only comes into if we're down here. My wife is upstairs cooking, and for whatever reason, he keeps coming downstairs, running into the bed, digging at it with his paws, and then running back upstairs. So I don't know if he's trying to tell me something or if I should be concerned.
That's where the Russians put the listening device.
That is where they put the listening device. You're right. Stanley is attempting to inform me. What were we talking about?
Stanley
no.
or
so,
Stanlevsky? Yeah. Double engine dog.
He does say comrade a lot instead of barking.
You know, something we could talk about is how ridiculous the Metropolitan Division is.
Yeah, what the hell?
When did John Tortorella become a really, really good coach?
Yeah, I still, it's a joke I've been telling for about 3 weeks now, and people are getting tired of it, but I still have no idea what the hell the Blue Jackets are. I don't know if it's just
they're a
Bobrovsky.
Team that's winning hockey games is what they are.
Yeah, Bobrovsky being good, and then, you know, Wenstrom, and, like, what the hell's going on there? Like, Boone Jenner isn't scoring. Brandon Saad's not doing great. What the hell's going on?
I don't know.
Where the hell's Buchnevich? That's what I want to know.
Where is Buchnevich? Beth, what did you do with him?
We need to send, like, one of those ransom notes that's, like, you know, letters cut out of a newspaper from different words and just demand him back. Although I think that's what you actually send when you ask for ransom. But we don't want ransom. We just want him back.
Is this the weekly crime that we're creating? What? But who are we sending that to? The Rangers? They would give him to us because they want him back.
I'm not sure that's true.
I think we send it to...
What? Wait a minute.
I don't know what I'm talking about anymore. Leave it alone. I just love that there's a point in every episode of the VU has to be involved.
Well, some type of crime occurs, for sure. So, I don't know now. Now I'm genuinely confused. I just want him back. That's all I want. I want my good friend Buchnevich back. That's it. I think it would be good for everybody if he came back. He would make the Rangers a lot better. I would know that he's healthy. How good would that be? It'd be great.
It would be great.
God,
that's
imagine
what
if
I
all
want
of them came back.
Year.
Is what?
Oh my
Is
God! All the
to
Rangers
back?
Together again.
Well, could you imagine what they're going to do healthy? I mean, maybe the wheels are going
to
fall off.
No, actually,
defense,
I can't because I don't remember what that's like. I cannot imagine it, to tell you the truth.
We did get a good glimpse of it. We got a good idea of what it looked like at some point. At one point,
you score 8 billion goals, and everyone else is sad.
I think Beth took Buchnevich. I think she went crazy when Dylan McElrath got taken and traded to Florida.
Yeah. It's not like I can watch him do wonderful things along the boards in my house. I did not take him. I did not.
Well, then, this was a fun Monday night episode of the podcast. This is Bantering the Blue Shirts. We are directly in your ear. Anything else you guys want to talk about before we end for the night?
I don't like when you do that. not even a little bit. Yeah, because I think everyone who has any sanity in their head doesn't like the thought of things being in their ear.
No. Mike, am I right?
But you know what's a fascinating thing is that Q-tips, it's expressly labeled that you shouldn't put them in your ear.
Right.
But why does it feel so good, Joe?
Because
why does it feel
here's the
so
thing.
Good?
Q-tips very clearly say that you cannot put them in your ear. But a blue
what
shirt
the hell are you
going to
use them for otherwise?
They're lying.
You're supposed to put Blue Shirt Banter in your ear. You're supposed to put bantering blue shirts right into your ear. That's right. You didn't think about that, did you? You're supposed to use it for, like, makeup or, like, cleaning things.
They lie.
What cleaning what things, Joe?
I don't know. Your eyebrows?
Between the little keys on your computer. It works for that, but clearly
they're
just sticking your ear.
They computers, do they not?
Mike, I think you
yes.
You might be confusing me with someone who invented the Q-tip.
He does seem to expect you to be a font of knowledge on the Q-tip.
That's true.
I'm just talking, Joe.
You know what? I want to butter up a duck. Me and my buddy Lunkin are going to go butter a duck.
Do you want to ride the hot buttered duck, though?
Ooh. Yes.
That'd be hard because it would be buttered.
That's
yeah,
true.
I mean,
you'd slip right off.
Yep.
Maybe that's what we should do for like a podcast meetup is go to a place that has the mechanical bull, but we make it into a duck.
Nope,
butter it
nope,
up.
Nope, 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 nope.
Now hear
nope,
me out.
Nope.
Hear me out.
I
we'll
have
use margarine and we'll call it a mallard, so it's nice and alliterative.
Did you have an incident with a duck once? A bull that was
bantering the
duck?
Mallards? Wait, why are we calling it a mallard?
Well, mallard.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Well, that's true. We're not gonna. We're gonna be gone for Christmas and the start of Hanukkah.
Everyone, go find Buchnevich. That's your Christmas.
Yeah, that's your
Christmas
present.
Yeah, everyone, go find
Buchnevich. It's
home. Find where the hell he is and get him home. He's probably just lost in the city. That's probably what's happened.
Is this like a Saving Private Ryan moment where it's like we have to find Buchnevich?
Yeah, he's adorable. He speaks
Saving Comrade
English.
Buchnevich. I could see him being lost and scared in the. I could see him being lost and scared in New York City.
Somewhere in the garment district, I'm sure.
They just don't want to tell anybody that they lost him, because that would cause an international incident.
Because technically,
he just
wandered
off, and they're just covering as best they can.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Whose job was it to pack Buchnevich? Who didn't pack Buchnevich?
It was Kreider's job.
It was Kreider's job.
Probably,
clearly,
you know what?
If
it was anyone's
job. He was too busy practicing that glove drop in front of a mirror.
It would have definitely been Kreider's job. Of all the people, it would have been Kreider's job.
That's why he
So we're blaming Kreider for this,
all,
I think? I think that's the way to go?
That's why he blocked me on Twitter.
Yeah.
I know.
Because you knew.
Because you would have found out. Because you're the
I know
the
what he did
detective.
Last November. He lost Buchnevich.
They went to
if
the
he
park.
Ever listens to this, he's definitely going to block us. Block us all on Twitter.
No.
Yeah, Chris, did you listen to Bantering the Blue Shirts the other day? They blamed you for losing Buchnevich.
But he's not lost. He's right here. No, apparently he's quite lost.
Oh, shit. Did I not remember to pack him? Damn it. Where do we leave him? Like a lost contact of sorts? I haven't even. Have you even seen him in like the?
When was the last time we saw him?
Well,
like,
right.
What was the last game
I was
played?
Ask. Do we ever see Zibanejad in the press box? We do, right?
He was seen in a cast, yes.
I saw him in my dream.
Have we seen Buchnevich?
I haven't.
I don't think I
no.
have either.
This is what I mean. This is there's serious
the
shit
somewhere.
Going on.
It's like unsolved mysteries, but with
Buchnevich. He's working as a fry cook.
At the garden?
Yeah.
A sidekick?
A fry cook.
Sidekick?
Beth,
he could do better than
out of your
sidekick.
Ears.
There you go with your
You'll use a Q-tip, Beth.
Get the ducks out of my ears. Yes, I will.
I still think the best part of that was you frequently confuse water and butter. What is cooking
I
like
that
in your
more.
House?
My cooking
everywhere?
Is fascinating.
I'm sure
yes,
it is because
everywhere.
It's covered in butter.
Sounds
Do
good.
Do you see a problem with that? I don't see a problem with that.
No, that's a good thing.
My heart
makes a very good
thing.
But
that
Your heart
the
will
only
go
thing.
On, though.
No. My heart will go on. There's nothing to fear. No, that's a different song.
That's The Bodyguard. We're talking about Titanic.
Oh, The Bodyguard. That is a Dolly Parton song called I Will Always Love You. Fuck The Bodyguard. Jesus.
But that's from The Bodyguard.
That's me hissing like a cat to bring a new animal into our strange roster
Repertoire.
Here.
I don't know why
yes.
I know so much about 90s
Repertoire.
Movies, but I do.
It is in that movie, and Whitney Houston sings it, and her version is beautiful and admirable, but it is still a Dolly Parton song, and that is all.
And then Whitney Houston went crazy, and then she's dead.
Well, Jesus.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Please pay for this. We are asking you to pay for this.
Our hot country music, international intrigue cakes.
I do love country music.
Pay for
Who
them.
Who doesn't love country music?
Who doesn't love international intrigue?
What is
Cold War all over again,
Zuccarello.
Bitches.
International espionage with a Zuccarello. Yes. Not a Zuccarello. My Buchnevich is missing.
But why doesn't anyone
yep.
freak out about Zook not scoring? But they're fine. I mean, they freak out about Stefan not scoring, but Zook not scoring, no one gives a damn.
Because some players are exempt from being concerned.
He's Zook.
Mm.
Yeah.
Zook
goals. We took all his friends. How can he be expected to score goals?
Oh, God. Apparently he's spending Christmas with Brassard.
Oh, my God. They're going to trade Brassard again.
I so want to watch that.
Again, I would definitely pay money to be in that hotel room or wherever.
Kreider's getting too close to Zook. He's got to watch out. He's playing with fire there.
Hagelin just follows Phil Kessel around now, though, right? So there's no chance of that. The third blue shirt coming back for the holidays, like a veteran from a foreign war. I'll be home for Christmas.
This is what happens when Beth drinks.
You can plan. No, this is what happens when I'm sober, too. I hate to bring it to you. This is just is what it is.
Look, if you guys want us to do a drunk cast, and we will do a drunk cast, you have to donate
$30. I gotta stop being the only one, though.
You have to donate $30 to the Patreon.
I'll be sober.
$30 a month. And then we'll, you get a free podcast. You get to choose. We'll do a Tony Time podcast for you about really anything.
I don't drink, but I'll eat a lot of sugar that day.
Mike will do meth because he doesn't drink.
Yeah, I guess I'll do meth. That's
right. A little bit of meth. Throw some meth in there. Now we've officially reached the silly portion of today's podcast. It's Monday.
Oh, I think
that sucks.
Was quite a while
tomorrow's
going
to be Tuesday, and that's better. And hopefully you all
We're
spend...
playing the Penguins. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
I'm really nervous about this game. I feel like
I didn't even know they were playing the Penguins.
They're playing them tomorrow, Joe.
Oh, God. I'm a bad blogger.
You run a Rangers blog, like the most popular Rangers blog in the
if
world.
If anybody knows who they're playing tomorrow, it should be you. Damn it.
Joe, you're
yeah.
the worst.
That is all of those things are true. I'm going to back out slowly now. Patreon.com/PunkerPanther.
And you don't know the Rangers play tomorrow.
My dog knows that there's a Russian listening device downstairs. I think I knew they were playing tomorrow. I just don't think I knew who they were playing. That's all.
Penguins.
Penguins.
The Penguins.
PSB
is Mike. Beth Macklin is Beth. You type those things after twitter.com and you get their pages. You should go follow them. Blue Shirt Banter for me. You can read us at Blue Shirt Banter. You can read Mike at FanRag Sports, the enemy, but I'll allow it. You could read Beth at BlueShirtBanter.com/Riveters. Mike at BlueShirtBanter.com/Riveters. And Mike at BlueShirtBanter.com, because without Mike, 99% of the things we do would not get done on the website. Maybe
nothing would get done without Mike.
I'm going to say 99%.
And I like compliments, especially public ones. Stop it.
Mike is basically
Mike.
Running the podcast. And
I hate you both
blog.
Like poison.
Mike
and
does
I am
things.
Just Unlike the man in the high castle who does nothing and has become bloated. I'm very bloated right now, and Mike is running the ship. So thank you for
you're
that, Mike.
Bloated?
You're a good man. Yeah, bloated.
We need to hang up now.
Blood.
Good night, gentlemen.
It's Christmas, Beth. What do you do? You eat cookies and you get bloated.
You love how you slurred your way through the word Christmas. It's Christmas.
You're buttering ducks and you're yelling at me because I'm bloated? You know my calories are in a buttered duck? Actually, tens of thousands.
I didn't tell you to eat the buttered duck.
If it's a foie gras duck, where it's force-fed food for its liver.
Foie gras. Yeah, donate money to the Patreon. Make us better. Patreon.com/blueshirtbanter.
Happy holidays, everybody.
Spend it with your family.
Good night. Have good holidays. Bye.
Butter up a duck. Go grab some pitchforks. There's lots of things you can do. I'm in control. Oh, God. Beth really hung up on us. How messed up is that?
It has to end. Let it end.
She hung up, though. I'm in complete control. This podcast will not end until I allow it to end.
She's the only one with common sense. That's why she's hung up.
She is the only one with common sense. We could talk some crap about her right now. She has no idea.
No.
Beth frequently butters
stuff. She just went to the fridge, grabbed some butter.
She might have. I can't believe she dropped out. What a... God. All right. I love you, Michael.
What a lumpkin.
What a butter duck lumpkin. Don't think that it was lost on me that I told you I loved you and you didn't tell me you loved me back.
I love you very much.
Good. Let the masses hear. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
That's enough.